And this morning, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be in the book of Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 2. So it's just one page over for most of y'all, so that's not a big deal to turn to. So that's where we'll be today in the Word. I don't know how many of you have watched Gilligan's Island growing up. I know I talk a lot about those old TV shows because I love them so much. Gilligan's Island was one of them. I know some of you younger ones in here may not even be familiar with that show, but it's a great show. And there's very few episodes in that series of Gilligan's Island that you consider emotionally touching. They're mostly funny and silly. But I do remember one. And it was one where Gilligan had gotten his feelings hurt, and he decided to move on the other side of the island and to live alone in a cave. And immediately this became a miserable existence for Gilligan, fighting the spiders and all the stuff that was in a cave and just the fact of being alone. And he just had a hard time. But it's also miserable for everyone else on the island as well, because one of their own was no longer among them, no longer in fellowship with them, and it left this terrible void. They missed him at the dinner table. They missed his jokes. They missed his laughter. They missed his gentleness that he had, and they even missed his screw-ups that he did to make everyone just miserable sometimes. But I think at one point, watching that show, they were sitting around the dinner table talking about specific things about Gilligan and that they missed about him. And so what did they do after talking about that? I think it began with Skipper. Skipper decided that to leave the rest of them as well and to go over to the other side to live with Gilligan so that he wouldn't be alone. And after Skipper did this, one person did another, next person did another. Thurston and the Howells did it, and Marianne did it, and the professor did it, and till finally, all seven people were together again on the other side of the island with Gilligan in his cave. And in true spirituality, either we make it together or we don't make it. At least not in a healthy way. I mean, why do fish travel in schools? Why do birds fly in formation many of the times? Or why do cattle move along in herds? Because they understand that they can't reach their maximum potential when they're apart from the group. Lions prey on animals that stray from the group. Bears, they look for fish that are no longer moving within the school. They're easy to target and to push out of the stream so they can eat them. I mean, the Bible even says in 1 Peter 5:8 that your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And one of the easiest Christians to devour are those who are no longer part of the pack. As is true for the animal kingdom, so is for the mammal kingdom. It's also true for the kingdom of God. Because maximum growth cannot happen when you're apart from the group. Our relation to relationship to the corporate body is so crucial in our personal development spiritually, because spiritual growth is a group project. And while it does at the same time involve our own personal responsibility, there are things that you do to grow on your own. That's natural. I mean, none of us would suggest that a baby who was born in a hospital should go home without a family. We know that children grow best in a wholesome and a healthy environment with a family. And the same is true for those Christians, just as with those who come to faith in Christ who are transferred out of a kingdom. The Bible calls it the kingdom of darkness in Colossians 1:13. Transferred out of the dark kingdom into another kingdom, and that's called the kingdom of light. Or some scripture reads, the kingdom of the beloved Son, which God is love, God is light. So you were adopted into the family of God. And there's no maximum growth that you can have without the fellowship of the family of God. Many think they can. Many think they can have church on a boat or church this or that, but there's no really maximum growth potential when you're apart from the group. There's no better passage that explains this or sums it up, the relationship of the church to spiritual development of its members, more than Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 4, it reads, "There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism." Verse 6, "One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So the Apostle Paul says that there's one. There's a unifying environment or unifying principle of just one. And then Paul launches into the passage of spiritual growth of the family of God. He specifically is focusing on the work of Christ in verses 7 through 9. And to sum it up, in verse 9 he says, "Grace was given, gifts were given by the descending and ascending of Jesus Christ to earth." And verse 10 says, "so that he might fill all things." So, Jesus Christ went through a lot of work. He went through a shedding of a lot of blood, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to create what you and I are celebrating here this morning. On the cross, Jesus Christ on Friday paid for our sins by dying on the cross for our sins. And on Sunday, he validated that payment with a receipt called the resurrection. On Saturday, he descended down and declared victory in hell. And that's why one of the reasons both you and I come to church is so that we can celebrate. Celebrating our victory, especially when we worship. That's why it's so beautiful to see the children wave the banners. It's a celebration. A celebration of victory. Paul states in 7 through 9 that Jesus Christ defeated the devil and his whole entire army. And you and I, we come to church to be reminded that we're on the winning team. Amen? Because all week long, circumstances can make you feel like a loser. All week long, people that you may run into can make you feel like a loser sometimes. But on Sunday morning, when the group gathers, when the family gathers, we're to be reminded of the victory that he has achieved for us. Amen? I mean, the role of the church isn't specifically meant just to be a classroom of spiritual instruction, but it's rather an organism to enhance spiritual development within our lives. Paul also said, if you flip over to chapter 2 in Ephesians, if you would turn with me talking about the church in Ephesians 2:19, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." Verse 20, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Did you see the word "together" in there, by the way? In other words, God will do some things with you privately, but then there's some things that God will withhold from us until we're together as a church. Jesus Christ wants you to know that you are part of the victorious chorus or the assembly based on what he did on the cross on Calvary. And certain things happen when we gather in an assembly, when we come together, rather than just on your own. Years back in the entertainment industry, there was a certain concern or about the large move of our culture toward videos. You remember that? VHS tapes? Those old VHS tapes. Particularly when blockbuster movies would come out into the scene, and especially those blockbuster video movie rental stores. You remember those? People lining up in droves on the weekend. And sometimes you'd rush home from work just to be able to hope that there's a blockbuster movie you could rent to take home to watch that night with your family with pizza or whatever you're eating. Those days, you just line up the video place to get them. Well, Hollywood had a concern about with those $3 videos that the whole family would be able to sit in one room and watch this video. Their concern was that there would be a decrease in the attendance of the big screen movies. They were fearing that the attendance would begin to dwindle. Rather the videos siphoning off the movie attendance, because it's much less expensive and it's easier to watch with your family in a whole room. Instead, movie attendance to the big theaters increased. Why is that? Because there's certain things that happen in the movie theater that don't happen in your living room. I mean, have you ever watched a comedian on TV or a movie or something, and they said something funny, and maybe you'd grin, maybe you'd chuckle. But if you were at a movie and you saw a funny scene, you'd pick up on the laughter of everybody else in that movie theater. In other words, the environment affects you differently. And what God wants you to know is there are certain things that He wants you to experience in the privacy of your prayer closet. But then there's only certain things as well that you can experience in the ambiance of your church family. Chapter 2 tells us that the church gathered. It's the corporate dwelling place. It's a corporate place of the Spirit. It says the dwelling place of the Spirit. It's where the Spirit of God shows up to us corporately to produce this collective growth among us to feed off His collective presence. I mean, when football teams, they have a homecoming or something like that, they have pep rallies that are gathered together. And when you want to celebrate something, it's natural that you want to get together with others to celebrate that. Because it's hard having a birthday party by yourself. I know Laren wanted Kish and I to take her to this vegan restaurant last night, so we went and we ate. And Kish and I said we probably won't be back there again, but it was somewhere she wanted to go to celebrate, and so we went. And you just want to do things when you celebrate. When you celebrate something, you want to call some folk together. You want to share your joy with them. You want to have a good time because something happens when other people begin to join in on your joy. And Jesus Christ is so excited about His victory that He was able to do, that He's called us together, His church, He called His church together to celebrate the fact of what He achieved on the cross for you and I. Because sometimes it's not until you come to church that you are reminded that you are victorious in Christ. Amen? And sometimes this doesn't happen until we gather together. Spiritual growth is a group project. It's called being together in Christ. And that's very important. In a special Olympics not too long ago, where all the runners were challenged on some level or another. They took off the best they could, had a 100-yard dash. But only a few steps out, one of the runners fell, and he began to cry. Now, there were 10 people in the race, and 9 of them stopped running, turned around, and they grabbed this one special Olympian, and they locked arms with him, and they all walked across the finish line together. Now, in the Olympics that you and I watch on television, you're not going to have that happen. In fact, you're not going to have that happen in high school races. You're not going to have that happen in college races. If you happen to fall during one of those races, well, it's tough on you. Why? Because I'm trying to win for me. Why did these 9 Special Olympians turn around? They did it because they were in a special situation. You see, they all had problems. And they knew it. And they all had failings. And they knew it. They all had weaknesses and they knew it. But they weren't out there to showboat. They were out there to do the best they could, knowing that everybody in that race fell short. So when somebody else went down, the other nine runners recognized, hey, that could have been me, causing them to turn around and come back and reach down and pick up the one who'd fallen and lock arms with each other so they could all go across the finish line together. And you see, it's only when we understand the fact, as they did, and that's this, we're in the same boat together, people. We're in the same boat. And when God reached down for us sinners who were under the wrath of God, and he reached down and he saved you, and he saved you, and he saved you, and he saved me. And so it's not about just you, it's about the group together in Christ. But you see, some of us don't see each other as Special Olympians or as being spiritually challenged. And so we have a tendency to live for me and myself and I. And once you do that, you're messing with the family. The victory that Jesus achieves has so much theology tied into it that we don't have time to go into all the nooks and crannies of it. But the focus this morning is together in Christ, which ties this victory to Christ, to the church, and to its spiritual growth. And Paul says that God has given us church leaders, back to Ephesians 4, and some prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saint and for the work of service, there it is right there, building up the body of Christ. And that's growth. Together in Christ, to build up is to grow, to develop. And the next verse talks about maturing in the body. And this is attached growth. This is an unattached growth. Let me explain that a little bit. The Bible uses the word body in Scripture, and Paul uses the word body as a synonym for the church. He uses that more than any synonym ever talking about in his epistles. And when he wants to talk about the church, but he doesn't want to use the word church, he refers to it as the body. And I know you're familiar with this, but our body, of course, has many working parts and working in harmony to express the same reality of what we have to do in our body in a variety of ways, because it's a living organism. Which job is of that living organism is to unify together in one person through all of these cooperating parts. And all of those cooperating parts contribute to the whole of the person. In other words, it takes a lot of body parts working together just to get up out of the bed in the morning. Would you agree? And then much less walk. And especially as you get older, you can feel those individual body parts working even more clarifyingly. Some of them even begin to make sounds. So all of these individual parts work together for the body. Just like the more wood you put on a fire, the bigger fire you get. But if you start hanging out as a single log, and you're not going to burn very long, you'll start to go out. So the same principle works within that. It's all through nature. A Christian cannot stay hot for God while staying independent of the family. Because when that happens, you become deluded. That's why the Bible says we're members of one another. So if you want to know what the church is supposed to be, it says just look at your body and you can see it. That's what it's supposed to be. One man, who is Christ, with all of these parts working in harmony with each other so that the whole body benefits. And you and I are an individual part,
that grows because we're connected. And then Paul says, for this to be able to happen, you need two things. Verse 15, he says, you're going to need two things to grow up as part of the body. We're going to need truth, he says in verse 15, and also love. Speaking the truth in love. And we're to grow up in all aspects of him, even Christ. Truth is a fixed standard. It's something that doesn't change. It's the thing which reality is measured by, and we definitely need truth today. Amen? Now, if we have this truth, you and I can use the Bible as a hammer, beat people to death with it, trying to get the truth in them. And you think in yourself doing that, you're sharing the truth. Well, Captain Obvious statement here, people don't like that. They don't like it at all. Not that there's something wrong with the truth or the Bible, but rather something wrong with a hand holding it. So in order to balance off this truth, we're talking the growth that Paul talks about. He said that truth and love work together. In other words, there must always be a knowledge about us, what the Spirit prompts us to do or to say, with the information that we want to communicate to somebody. But you have to have heart in doing it. You have to have heart for the well-being of the person whom you're trying to communicate to. Because if you just spout it out, it's going to be like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant. It's just going to be in your face and draw you away, push you away rather. And Paul says there must be truth and love. For those of you taking chemical classes, the element sodium, it's an extremely active element found naturally only when it's combined with something else, and it always links itself to another element. But if you take something like chlorine, on the other hand, it's a poisonous gas that gives off bleach its offensive odor. But when you take sodium and you take chlorine and combine them together, you have sodium chloride. And when you combine those two elements together, you get what's called common table salt. The substance that we use to preserve the meat and to bring out the flavor of the meat. And love and truth can be a lot like sodium and chlorine. Because love by itself, sometimes it's mushy, it's gushy, it's flighty, sometimes blind, willing to contribute to various doctrines of what this person says, what that person says. But then on the other hand, you take truth by itself, it can be offensive, sometimes even poisonous. And spoken without love, it can turn people away from the gospel in a flash, which I'm sure many of you in here have either seen that or maybe even done that. But when you have truth and love, combine them together in an individual or a church, then we have something called the salt of the earth that Jesus speaks about. And we're able to preserve the faith. And we're able to bring out the flavor, bring out the beauty of faith as well. Which leads Paul to make his concluding point in verse 16. From whom the whole body, everybody, the whole family is talking about, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. There's that word grow again. He says as the body grows, when every part contributes. Every part contributes because it's contributing to the whole part of the being. And that's what Paul's referring to in the body of Christ, when we're together in Christ. Now, one preacher told me, he said, you know, the church body can, and its members, you can basically divide them into three skeleton bones in the skeleton outline. You have your wishbones, you have your jawbones, and you have your backbones. He says the wishbones are always hoping that your church will grow somehow without any effort at all. And the jawbones are always talking their way out of doing things, and the backbones are the person that people in the church that are always getting under the heavy burdens and carrying them. Those three types of people you can usually find in most churches. You know, a lot of you have noticed the lights we've changed out here recently. You know, we did that to switch out, to save some money, switched over to LED lighting, mostly to save on the monthly electric bill, but also because bulbs would have a tendency to burn out frequently. Or even in our sanctuary here, there would be dark pockets of space unless you happen to be standing underneath one of those canisters. We could see you good. I know Pastor Adam and I would have to choose a place up here on stage to stand there, or else it'd cast a shadow over our face and we'd end up looking like Lurch from the Addams Family, and that's never even good. So, you know, we made this big effort to change out all of the lights in the church because certain lights would not stay on. Especially if you've noticed the ones on the outside of the church. Now, those lights that wouldn't work, they were hanging out at the church. And they were in the same area of the same other lights that were shining. But they weren't contributing to the illumination of the church. But they were still hanging out on the building. They gave the impression, if you were to drive by during the day and you'd see those lights on the building, you think, well, that building has some adequate lighting. You know, I bet it shines up pretty good at night, if you saw them during the day. But the problem was that they were not functioning. Now, each one of those lights, though, were connected to a wire. And that wire is designed to bring electricity to that light. And every one of those lights on the outside of our church had a wire that was designed to bring the current to it that would turn it on. But the reason that some of them weren't on was the reason it was because the bulb was out, or there may have been a bad connection to that bulb. It wasn't because we had a power problem, because there was an electrical line going to every light in the building. But it was because the bulb was not functioning. And if you get enough bulbs that aren't functioning, then it begins to affect the illumination of the whole church, making it dark, spooky, and unsafe. Now, what the bulbs don't understand is if they just decided to go out because they don't want to work any longer or shine any longer, that they're not affecting everybody in just their little area, but they're affecting everybody around the church. And it's dark, and it's inviting to thieves. And sometimes hard to see your car. But Christians are a lot like those bulbs. They like to hang out. Like to give the impression that because they're located in the building that they're making a contribution. But unless you're allowing God's Spirit to work within you to illuminate the congregation as a whole, then you're not working. And you need to be changed because something's wrong. We have electricity that goes to those lights, but the electricity had to stop at that bulb because the bulb wasn't prepared or ready to receive it. It was either burned out or there was a bad connection. And that was electricity that we could have used in a different area. And God wants you to know that you or your individual parts and the gifts that you bring through the Spirit are important as a whole to the family. And that's very important to know. Because there's things outside of the body, there's things that will come to harm the body. Cancer is one of the most debilitating things of our day. There are cells that just don't want to get with a program. Cells that have their own agenda and what they want to do. And that would be okay if they left the body. But the problem with this cancer is that they're deviant cells that still want to hang out in you. They don't want to go anywhere. They just want to be independent. They still want the blood. They still want to feed off the body. They still want to eat. They still want the oxygen because they want to grow. They have to have that to grow. And not only do they want to grow, they get together and cause a lump. And they want to start to spread. And then they want to start to metastasize. So in other words, they want to siphon off the body. But they don't want to contribute to it. And ultimately, unless addressed radically, the whole body's in trouble if that happens. Because what they want are the benefits. And they want the sermons. They want the songs. They want the ministry to them. And they want the toys for their kids. They want the food for their pantry. They want the counseling for their problems. They want all of these things that the body is designed to give, but they don't want to be part of the body. They just want to hang out in it. And Paul tells us that the body grows that by which every joint supplies. And there's nothing can be compared to a group under the control and conviction of the Holy Spirit using their divinely given gifts to minister to the body. How do I know that? Because at the end of verse 16, it says that you'll know it because the body will build itself up. That means you don't have to go outside of the body to fix stuff within the body. Because when you have a healthy body, it heals itself. You want to know when you need to go to check to see if you have cancer? It's when you have a sore that won't heal. Because the body's not healing itself. Because when you get a healthy body, the body heals itself. Paul says that when you get the body working right, then growth happens when we begin to come together in Christ. Now, when Pastor Adam and I were in Guatemala, we noticed this a lot, but in third world countries, when people get toothaches because of the cost involved, they don't fill their teeth a lot of times because they can't afford it. So what they do instead is they extract the tooth. They pull it out. It's quick. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And so that's how they fix that problem. But that does cause another problem, because when they pull it out, there becomes a space, there becomes a gap. And when you create a space or a gap, you give room for the other teeth to begin to spread and to begin to grow crooked. Because teeth grow best when they're tightly fitted and connected together. Just as the same when God put together the body so that every part would be vital. Every part would be important for the working of another part. Because he says the church is the body of Christ. And it's meant to function by the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the power of Jesus Christ, the victorious Christ, what he did for us on the cross. And yes, I know when you come to church, that person that's sitting next to you or that person sitting behind you or maybe in front of you, they're probably a lot different than you. And sometimes it might get on your nerves. They have a different personality. They have a different gifts than you do. But church hopping isn't the solution to that problem. It's important to be part of a church that honors God's word and has an environment of love. And we try our best at Prayer of Faith to make that happen. A church that has biblical training, and that's the truth of the word, an environment of love for everyone together and to accept those individuals as they are coming through those doors. And what comes through those doors with truth and love are applied to it, you can always work around anything else. Because any family that has truth and love in it is going to be happy, even though they have problems, and all families have problems. But what we need to remember is may God help both you and me to grow together in Christ. Not apart from the group, but as part of the group, because we are the church.
One morning I walked into a church, but it wasn't on a Sunday. I looked around and I saw the empty seats, the sun glistening through the dust in the air. At first I was distraught at the sight of the empty chairs, but then I was filled with joy. I realized that the people who were once in those chairs were now outside of the building, working at their jobs, serving in their communities, laughing with their co-workers and growing with their families. They had the opportunity to be the church, not just sit in it. When will we be like them? When will we see the opportunity given to us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, bringing hope into the world? Stained glass can't pray for the sick. These walls can't preach the gospel, but you can. The building you're sitting in is just a building. But if you trust in Jesus, then you are the church.
Amen. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ in your heart, you can do that today. Don't wait another day to do it, by asking Him to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins and to create a new life within you. If you've never done that, do that today. If you've wandered from the church, today is your day to come home. Come home to a loving family that will embrace you and love you and prepare for you for when you go outside of these walls, to your workplace, to your stores, to the people that you encounter. You may have never been baptized. We would love to baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Father and Holy Spirit, to complete that which Jesus gave us an example to do as a believer, as a testimony of your life in Christ. If you've never done that, then you need to take care of that, because the enemy will taunt you with that through the rest of your life if you never follow through, if you never seal the contract. What is the Spirit telling you today? Is it just to love your church family and embrace them? Is it to go outside the walls and to minister, to share the gospel in a way that He wants you to share in your unique way, and your gifts that you have? Whatever it is, whatever it is, follow that which the Spirit is prompting you. Please stand as we close in prayer. Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You for the victorious achievement that You've given us on the cross and the everlasting life that You give us as believers. We have a hard time comprehending that because we can't see beyond our normal life on this earth. But it's going to be glorious. It's going to be victorious. But more than that, more than the promise that You've given us as eternal life, You've given us abundant life here on earth through the Holy Spirit. Help us to open up our lives, open up our minds, open up our hearts to what the Spirit, that which He gives us, that's what He shares with us, so that we can share with each other to become a corporate body in You, so that we can come together sharing the gifts of the Spirit to build up Your church and to make it strong and to make a statement in our community of who we are in You. And help us to get along with each other in the church, so that we can show people how to get along outside of the church. We love You, Father, and we praise Your name. And all the church said, Amen. Amen.